This weekend's readings put us right into the question of just what prophecy means. And we are really sort of shaped with this idea that prophets are kind of like holy fortune tellers. They get a glimpse into the future. That's really to misunderstand the role of the prophet. Because the prophet, first and foremost, is someone who speaks for God. We are sort of dazzled by the supernatural, the flashy, the extraordinary. And so we pay attention to those moments where speaking for God means speaking about what will be coming in the future. But you can kind of tell we've got it backwards. Like, to be able to speak for God, to speak God's perspective on anything, is profound. And this should maybe move us to reflect what it means that we are baptized as priest, prophet, and king. That we have the gift and the responsibility to speak for God from His Word, from the wisdom of the church. But the prophets, to speak for God, also have to listen. So we're asked, really by the readings that we're given, to consider just how it is we're listening to God and which God it is that we are listening to. Because this whole dynamic with Isaiah and Ahaz is timeless. So we need to understand the context. Ahaz is one of the kings of Israel. He is of the line of David. So, of course, everybody in Israel would know that God had made this promise that David's line would always sit on the throne. But Israel is in a bad way, surrounded by its enemies, who are, of course, stronger in terms of military might. But these other nations don't even need to make war on Israel necessarily, because King Ahaz has no male heir. The line of David looks like it's going to come to an end, and after that, Israel will just be a vassal state absorbed by one of the other powers of the day. So it's into this that Isaiah is sent as prophet to speak to Ahaz. But then we get Ahaz's answer. Really, his non-answer, his deflection. I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord. Oh, how pious that sounds. But that piety is false. It's hiding something disordered in his heart, and we don't know what it is, and that actually leaves us space to reflect. Maybe the world has overwhelmed him, and he's given up believing that God actually cares. So this is a nice way of just putting the prophet off. Maybe he believes that he and other members of the line of the house of David have been so corrupt that maybe this is what they deserve. And so he puts the prophet off. We don't know. We just have his answer, which is not the right answer. We know that from Isaiah's rebuke. But Isaiah's rebuke is charged with the goodness of God, as well as the strangeness of God. Because we hear what Isaiah says and we immediately go to a prophet seeing the future. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. But what consolation is that to Ahaz in his situation? Instead, Isaiah, speaking for God, does something very powerful. The word that he uses for virgin in Hebrew is Alma. And it has two meanings. So one is virgin, the way that we think of it. And then the other is simply young woman. Now, you will sometimes hear commentators who want to demythologize the gospel say, oh yeah, there was nothing supernatural about what Isaiah was saying. This whole thing with the Virgin Mary was a later addition by a medieval church. No, that's to miss how wonderfully strange God is. How wonderfully strange he is in his goodness. Because he is both speaking an immediate consolation to Ahaz, as well as foreshadowing what is going to be done to definitively occupy the throne of David. Because not long after this conversation, Ahaz's wife does in fact conceive, and they have a male heir, and there is stability in Israel. So what does all of this mean for us? How is God looking to speak into our lives, and how receptive are we to God speaking into our lives? Because we can end up like Ahaz, sort of keeping God at a distance. No, I won't tempt the Lord. And maybe we do dress it up with piety. Oh my gosh, I know what my past was. I know the things that I struggle with now. So what could God possibly have to say? I'll just take my place in the back row. Or maybe we look around or listen to voices that tell us that we should be panicking about the way the world is or the way the church is. And so we start to doubt, does God actually care? Is he just playing this all out until the end of time? And so what we do is we set up a God who is up there somewhere. A divine watchmaker, a chess master, who really only cares about the end product, not the pieces that are involved, not us. This is why we need the voice of the prophet to come in and shatter those false images of God, and to allow the God who is strange and beautiful in his goodness to come close to us. To be Emmanuel, to be God with us. Not just us collectively, but us as in you and I individually. Joseph is the antithesis of Ahaz. The fact that he's a righteous man means that he is sought to be in relationship with Yahweh. And so he brings the concern and the confusion of his heart in finding Mary pregnant to the Lord. We can tell that because he comes to a solution that, yes, respects the law of Moses, but is also charitable, founded in love, what the Pharisees and scribes will so often miss. But God speaks into that, comes close to Joseph, and gives him an answer that both consoles him in the immediate moment. There is no sin here. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. But then also, the profoundly strange and beautiful news that this is the Messiah, the definitive occupant of the throne of David. So in these last days of Advent, can we allow our heart to be like Joseph's? In its willingness to push past the false images and lies about God not caring or us being too damaged for him to care, to approach him with all of our concerns and all of our needs, and then also be like Joseph, ready to receive God's response. Because, yes, God definitively cares about us, about our desires, about our needs. He wants to hear about them from us, whatever they might be. But we also know that he rarely answers in the way that we expect. That his answers are strange. But they are always founded on his goodness. So as we receive Jesus in a way that Ahaz never would have envisioned, never could have even dreamed to ask for, may we allow him to be Emmanuel, God with us, who occupies definitively not just the throne of David, but the throne that is our hearts. And in that, may we find authentic hope, a deeper faith, a real love that is reflective of the love and goodness that He has for us.